Hello, you're listening to Fresh Wellness with Lisa Shebeck, and welcome to my podcast. A homeopath by trade, with the aim of helping you discover health, natural living, and alternative therapies to bring you down the rabbit hole. Welcome to the latest episode of Fresh Wellness podcast with Lisa Shebeck. In this episode, I move away from my background of homeopathy, and I'm honoured to chat to the amazing psychic Tasha Lee of Divine Calling. I first met Tasha at a psychic evening arranged by my mum and was blown away by the reading she gave me. In this episode, we discuss Tasha's gift of psychic mediumship, how she does a reading, her thoughts on whether all humans have psychic potential, the collective energy of 2021, and hopes for the future. Really excited to have you here, because I have you to thank personally, really, for leading me into my homeopathy career. I don't know if you remember that night that you came round to mum's a couple of years ago.
I don't remember readings, but then I don't think I'm meant to. I'm a glorified telephone, really.
Well, you
but I do remember meeting you. I do remember that night. And I honestly think you give me too much credit, because okay, I might have signposted the way for you, but it was you that took the initiative, and it's you that put that into practice. You made that happen, so really the props are to you, not me. But I do appreciate your kindness in saying that I helped you, and I'm pleased that I did help you. That's why I do this.
You really did. You're amazing. And yeah, I think life would have been really different had I not had that reading. And so just if I can quickly share, and then I want to go on to all about you, Tasha. But I mean, just for people listening, I had decided to defer my homeopathy course, just because I was just overwhelmed. And I had my reading with Tasha, and I was like, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to give anything away. Like, I'm one of those people that's just going to be completely silent. And yeah, it was just scary. You just told me that I had literally 4 weeks to act, and I needed to follow my passion, and that the thing that I thought was going to help me manifest my homeopathy career wasn't it. And it just spoke such sense that I literally got off. The next day I phoned college up. I'd missed 2 weekends and said, oh, I've had my cards read and I need to come back. And they were like, okay. So yeah, it was just, it just happened like that. So I really want to know, sort of, what can you tell everyone listening in your own words what it is that you do, because I think you're amazing and I won't do it justice trying to explain.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm a professional psychic, and I'm a Tibetan born astrologer and cosmologer, as well as a Usiri and angelic Reiki master, amongst other things. But I spend most of my days giving psychic readings for various individuals, and what a psychic reading is basically a reading of a soul. So I look at your sort of past, present, future. I do, a lot of psychics don't actually make predictions, they just look around situations and then what can be done and what can help, or not, what not to do, as it were. I am a predictive psychic, but I also look at situations and what can be done. I'm not there to dictate what your future is, but it's more like the most likely outcome as things stand. Future isn't fixed, it's fluid. People have free will. There are certain elements, I always like to say, you know, certain things are fated, but you make your own destiny. So I see it as I'm simply there to help, help make decisions, help give you a heads up. Forewarned is forearmed sometimes. But everything I do, whether it be an astrology report or whether it be a psychic reading, sometimes it's mediumship, sometimes it's an energy healing, it's because I want to help. So that's my passion, that's my aim with whatever I'm engaging with someone with. It's simply to help them get to where they want to be in life.
I love that. And with the like psychic reading, do you use tools to do it? Like, how does it actually work in practice?
different people work in different ways. I do use tools. I use tools because I'm very specific about the tools I will use in person or the tools that a client can see, because I think it enhances the reading for the person receiving it. I do get some of the information with no tools, so I get it like directly to me. But I also, I use cards, I use charms, various card systems. So the most famous obviously is tarot, but I read Lenormand, I read Kipper, I read Gypsy, I read oracles, I read angel cards, I read tea cards, I read teacups, tea leaves, coffee grinds, colors, numerology, crystal ball gazing. I, you know, there's not really much I don't read, but I read everything. But then I've always been like that. I mean, I'll read my cereal as I eat it in the morning. So
love it. Do you choose, like, to some that when you have a person come to you, how do you like decide which tool to use? Do they have, do you use, are you guided by them, or how do you?
I have my go-tos. So if obviously if I'm mobile, so well, I was until COVID, so I go to people and I do online readings. So obviously if I'm going to someone, I'm limited to what I've bought with me as far as tools are concerned. So I have my work courses, my go-tos that are my standard, and it's generally I'll have a tarot deck, I'll have an oracle deck, and I'll have a Lenormand deck, and then whatever else I might have decided on the spur of the moment to add to my bag. So if I'm going somewhere, I've got what I've got in my bag, and each I have multiples of everything because I've got different bags of different things. If I'm doing an online reading, I've obviously got far more scope because I'm in my own space and I've got everything to hand.
Yeah, sure. And do you, like, I mean, you said as well, you sometimes get information come to you. Like, I remember when you did my first reading, actually, you started coughing and you said to me it was because my throat chakra was, I had issues with it, which I definitely did used to. I feel like I've overcome that a bit now. But
Okay, so when I'm working, and oh, you will get other psychics that get similar things. I'm working on more than one level. So I'm looking at, and I read, there's several different ways to read cards. You can read them academically, you can read them intuitively, and you can read them as a bit of both. So I call it the art and science of reading. When I'm reading a system or a tool, I'm reading it both in the academic sense, I'm reading it intuitively, but on top of that, I'm also getting what I call psychic hits. So I'm getting information directly on top of that. Sometimes that's from spirit, sometimes that's from the higher self, sometimes that's collective consciousness. But I'm working on many different layers all at the same time. And one of the ways that I get information is literally in my body. So if I'm giving a mediumship reading, I might feel, I gave a reading once for someone that the person I was bringing through had been shot in their hip. They were in the military. And all I could feel was this massive stabbing pain in my hip. And I said, goodness, I feel like I've been shot. I was like, ow, I feel like I've been shot. And then obviously it goes, it's only for like a split second. And it turned out this person had been shot in their hip.
Oh my goodness, so that's amazing.
I feel things physically. So when I'm talking, now I have to guard my voice because I talk all day, every day. So I have to guard my voice anyway, because just because I use it so much, I do get croaky. I do, you know, losing my voice is a industry hazard. And obviously that's probably one of the handful of things that actually stops me working. If I can't talk, I can't work. But whilst I'm working, I'll have certain physical experiences that are like triggers for me or will tell me certain things. So if I start losing my voice, or if I start I get like a coughing fit, that tells me this person's having problems with their throat chakra, and that can mean a variety of things depending on what exactly I'm feeling. So some of the information I get, where I'm getting psychic hits, it's not just I'm getting it in my head or I'm being told something, I feel things physically. Sometimes I'll get a feeling, so sometimes I start feeling really anxious, and that can mean certain other things. Sometimes I remember there was this one lady and I literally couldn't breathe. It's like I just couldn't get air. And I said to the lady, because obviously I'm having a conversation and suddenly I can't breathe. So I have to explain to my client, don't worry, I'm not dying, but I can't breathe. I feel like I can't breathe. And I felt like the whole room was collapsing in on me.
Yeah.
Well, this lady's agoraphobic.
Oh, right.
She had an anxiety disorder, and it manifested in she didn't leave her house. Now, obviously, I'd gone to her, but when I've got into her energy to read her, that was my first feeling of everything is closing in on me, and I can't breathe because that's what her experience of life was.
Must have been the first few times that ever happened to you. That must be quite scary. I mean, do you get used to it, or?
It's never really frightened me, I suppose, because it's normal to me. I've grown up with it. The best way I can describe it is if you have a dream and in your dream you're aware it's a dream, what's happening in the dream doesn't have as much power, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely.
So that's kind of what it's like. It's I know it's not real.
Yeah.
Even though I'm feeling it very physically, I know it's not real. In fact, I'm probably more scared of dismissing something real because I think it's not and it actually turns out to be than the other way around.
Yeah, you almost get too blasé about it. Oh, it's just like picking up on, yeah.
So I have to guard against that. But no, it's a lot of people do get frightened, whether it be psychic ability or mediumistic ability or any other type of gift that they might have, because children don't. But as adults, we kind of learn, we kind of get conditioned into how things should or shouldn't be. And in my experience, the more you relax and recognize that things aren't out generally to get you, that it's nothing to be frightened of. It's something to be embraced and enjoyed. It's called a gift for a reason.
Definitely. And actually, I've got quite a few questions I want to ask, but I guess actually moving on from that, how did you, like you said, you grew up with this? How can you tell me how you came to do this? I'm really fascinated, you know, what it was like as a child having this and how you decided to utilize, your gift.
Well, my grandmother, I actually come from a long line of psychics and mediums, but my grandmother got frightened by something when she was young and kind of closed down, and she sort of found comfort in religion, so she's very religious, and she used to look after me when I was little, and I've been freaking her out since I started talking. She affectionately calls me the devil's daughter. It is with affection, but there's things that my family members that are older than me will tell me that I used to do when I was younger. I don't remember it, obviously, but from the earliest age, spirit has been real to me as you are. I've always had what I describe as a knowing. I've always known. I've always been able to predict the future. That's just normal, and I can't help but read, and that's been like that since I was a child. As I said, I'll read my breakfast cereal. I will read anything. If a butterfly lands on me, or three blue cars in a row pass, or whatever, I can't help it. I do it naturally. And that's always been the case. I've been reading playing cards and tea leaves since I was 5-6 years old. I got into tarot when I was about 12, Lenormand when I was sort of 17-18, and it's just gone on and gone on and gone on. And I'm naturally a person that I want to know everything about everything. So if I'm learning something, I need to know everything about it. And then once I'm done with that, I have to move on. So, and I quite often read and I'm learning or taking a course or whatever, on multiple things at once, just because I am. That's what I'm like. When I was a teenager, I took 5 A levels, not 3.
Oh my goodness.
That's just who I am. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
And there are times when I think, what am I doing?
No, that's amazing. I mean, it's great.
Honestly, I'd get bored. I've just finished I did a online course with Harvard, so I can officially say I'm Harvard educated.
Oh, excellent. What was that course on?
It was on Omens. It's called Prediction X. It's on omens and predictions in the history of prophecy. It's actually linked to climate change, but it's actually to do, the course is on omens and prophecy, which I couldn't resist. I just had to do it. But yeah, so I can't help but want to expand, because my professional development is really important to me. And I know a lot of people think, oh, but it's just airy fairy, you know, you've either got it or you don't, but that's not true. It's like anything. I know people that have been reading 40 years and they just stopped. They stopped trying to better themselves and don't progress, don't go anywhere, and they just stagnate. And then sometimes they actually start going backwards. Their readings stop lacking clarity. They stop giving detail. And it's just really sad. And I couldn't imagine not wanting to keep getting better and giving more. I want to give everything I can give in that given moment. So, okay. I'm not necessarily saying a reading you have today with me today is going to be better than a reading you had with me 2 years ago. What I can tell you is that my skills will have evolved and I've added to them in that time.
That's brilliant. The constant quest for self-improvement. I love it. Oh, it's brilliant. And what one thing I'm really like intrigued by, it kind of makes me a bit nervous, or has made me nervous about having readings in the past, is where you say that you're predictive and you can read into the future. I know you said the future isn't fixed, but you probably get asked this a lot, but do you ever see anything like really bad, and do you not tell people, or how do you deal with those situations?
As a professional reader, actually even as an amateur reader, so if you're reading for someone, you have a responsibility. Readings are not meant to scare people. They're meant to help. They're meant to be empowering. They're not meant to frighten you. Readings are just reflective of life. So yeah, there's going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, there's going to be the good, the bad, and everything in between, because that's what life is. Life isn't just a constant positive or constant negative or constant neutral. You need that mix to be able to recognize the different things. You can't have good without having bad, because there's nothing to balance it.
So
readings just reflect life. So it doesn't matter if you're having a reading with me or someone else. If there is something that is considered negative in the present or the future, there's always, for want of a better word, advice that comes with it. How best to handle this? What to do for it not to happen? And you have to be really careful when you're reading not to make statements or lead your client into what will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. A lot of readers won't read for pregnant people because one is two combined energies, and two, if you're reading, and even if you think, okay, I'm not going to read on the pregnancy, I'm just going to do a general reading, so even if you're trying to avoid it, what happens if you see that this lady's going to have a miscarriage? As a reader, you've seen it. So my rule is, if I see it, unless I'm shown, you specifically shown, do not say this, but you are being shown it so that you know how to lead the reading to help this person. But generally, if I see it, then it's my job to say it, to the point that I can't actually move on with the reading until I've said what I've seen. It will block me if I try and skip something. But in our example, if you're reading for a pregnant person and you can see that this pregnancy is not going to go to term, there is going to be a miscarriage. If you tell that pregnant person that you're going to lose your baby, what happens if you were wrong? What happens if you were wrong? They were never going to lose their baby. You've misinterpreted something, but then they do lose their baby because the stress of you telling them that they're going to lose their baby causes that to happen.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's an extreme example, but it's a very important one of what I call about self-fulfilling prophecy and why readers have such a huge responsibility in what we say. Because I always say I'm a glorified telephone. I literally just pass the message on. But I'm not being totally fair, I'm not a telephone, I'm an interpreter.
Mm.
So I need to make sure that things aren't lost in translation. So that's probably why I'm always on a quest to be better, to improve, to give more, because my words have power. Even though they're not technically my words have power, and they can seriously impact people's lives for the negative and the positive. So I have to be very mindful of that responsibility. So I go back to, readings are supposed to help. There shouldn't be anything in the present or the future that could be considered negative that doesn't come with the best way to handle that or how to stop that happening completely. Readings are meant to be empowered. Now, sometimes that empowerment is going to be, okay, you've got this coming up. It's not so great. So let's look at how we can handle this to your best advantage.
Mm.
Or, okay, be careful because who you're trusting at the moment isn't trustworthy.
Mm. Yeah, there's some massive responsibility, isn't it? With the language that you choose is so important as to how what you say is self-fulfilling prophecy. It's such a powerful thing. I guess framing it in the right way to make people make good choices.
Yeah, and in what I've seen a lot in lockdown is you've seen a lot of people that just pick up a pack of cards and say, oh, my professional reader now, send me money and I'll give pull some cards for you. And there was so much more to it than that. And I'm not saying that someone who started reading in lockdown isn't necessarily a good reader or a gifted reader. I'm just saying I think a lot of people don't realise the responsibility that people in this industry have to do the best for their clients. So like one of the things a fake psychic or someone who's just in it for the money will do, they will scare someone. They will tell, I actually get a lot of people where I'm having to undo the damage done by other, and I use the term loosely, readers. I had one lady come to me, all she wanted to know was her husband going to die? And I jokingly said to her, well, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
We're going to have to rephrase that question. But she explained to me that she had gone to a reader. She paid £500 for the reading and it lasted about 20 minutes. So that's quite a high price.
Yeah, geez.
Now, I'm not saying that readings can't be worth that, but I'm just, that's a high price as far as industry standards is concerned. To basically be told your husband's going to die in a car accident. And that was it. That was pretty much the reading.
Well, how's that? Yeah, how's that?
Well, the lady was really scared because she was like, okay, it's a scam. They're gonna say, give me some money and I'll make this not happen. But then they didn't do it. So then she thought, well, they're not asking for like money for candles or a spell or whatever to make it better. So it might be real. It's because that they weren't doing what she had been told a scam or a fake psychic will do. And I had to explain to her, well, what they're doing actually is they've created a fear in you. And the psychology of it is that you will go back to them specifically because they created the fear. So you want them to make it better. Mm. So you'll keep going back to them for readings until they tell you it's okay. Your husband's not going to die now. And that happens a lot. And so I always tell people, I don't care if you're having a reading with me or anyone else, you should not walk out of a reading fearful. You might not like what you've been told. I, as a messenger, I quite often get shot, but that goes with the territory. You know, if you come to me asking, am I going to marry my boyfriend? And I can't see it happening. I'm not going to lie to you and say, yep, you're going to get married in the summer, if that's not what I see. I'm quite upfront. My accuracy rating is 85% on a general. The highest I've worked at is 97% accurate, but it's not possible to maintain that. 85% is pretty much what would be considered the highest you can maintain.
Well, all my friends that have seen you, because I've recommended you to quite a few, and they've all said they've had great readings.
Thank you.
I think actually that's a question. I mean, just from what you've touched on, I guess I hadn't really stopped to think about it. But, you know, yeah, the power of words and how, if you don't go to reputable readers, of the damage it could do. Have you read You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza?
No, but I know the gist of it.
He talks at the beginning about how we have the power to heal our mind, to heal our bodies, sorry, through thought. But he actually gives some examples of where it can work the other way. And he talks, it's quite a depressing example, but of a guy that had been told he had, you know, liver cancer and didn't have long to live. And he died not long after being told that. But actually, when they did the autopsy, there was nothing wrong with him. It was that misdiagnosis. And I guess that whole, the power of words and how you frame things is so important.
If people understood the power not only their words have, but the power their mind has, they would guard their thoughts and words far more carefully.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've just started sort of going down this sort of road and reading more books on this subject, but completely, I think we are so much more powerful than we realise on either side of the coin.
One of the things I'm constantly saying is, people need to be really careful about how they talk to them about themselves. So quite often someone will say, oh, I'm such an idiot, or oh, I can't get anything right, or negative, what I call negative self-speak. Or even if like you're looking in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm so old and wrinkly, or oh, I really hate my nose, or I'm ugly, or I don't like this part of my body, or whatever. If I honestly think people should have like a tick list, that every time they say something negative, they have to make a mark, and then they could see how negatively they speak about themselves or think about themselves. Because if they could see that and the impact that has. So one of the things sometimes it's literally something I will be shown psychically, I have to say, because it's something I did for myself, so then that becomes a reference. So anything that happens or I experience or I read in my life becomes a reference for what I'm working with. So one of the things I know I've told clients to do is, you have to look in the mirror every day and say something nice about yourself, because it changes what you focus on, and therefore your thought patterns. So it changes you from focusing what you don't like about yourself to what you do like about yourself, and then that has a snowball positive impact in other areas in your life. And that all goes back to the same thing: how we think and how we speak basically helps manifest what our experience is.
Completely. Yes. And it's a shame people don't realise that, I think. You did a little exercise with me actually on the on my first reading with you. I mean, this was a few years ago before I'd started sort of reading more about the power of the mind. But you made me do an affirmation. Actually, I did a negative one, and you said to me, look at how your body language goes, you know, your shoulders hump forward. And then you got me to do a positive affirmation. And the difference, you know, I felt so good. It was just amazing. But I think if people could do that every day, they'd be in such better places.
I think if people realise that just the smallest of tweaks and adjustments in what they do, it's the little things that have the biggest impact, basically.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, hopefully people will realise that.
There.
Yeah, it is becoming slightly more mainstream knowledge, I think. So how do you, like, for people that want to get readings, how do they find reputable reader? Is there like an association, or, you know, is it word of mouth?
The problem with associations is normally there's a code of conduct for most associations. However, there is this thing that anyone can join them. You then have to wait for non-reputable people to be removed. So I always say go by recommendation. I have an internet presence. You can find me. You can literally Google Tasha Lee Psychic, or you can Google psychics in my area, or you can Google Divine Calling. I'll pop up. I have an internet. I don't particularly advertise. I'm not anti-advertising, but generally most readers will go by word of mouth and reputation, which I do, and reviews. So my first thing would always be, ask your friends, ask the people you trust if they know anyone. If that isn't an option for you for various reasons, then look at reviews, go to, I know we're in COVID, but look online, watch people work. Like, I often do free live readings, little mini readings. That's partly for me to give back to people. It's partly for me to reach people that, that wouldn't necessarily or don't have the means to buy a reading. And it's partly so people can see how I work. So if you like how I work, then you can be like, yeah, okay, I liked how this lady worked. I want to book a reading with her.
Yeah, and your online readings are brilliant because I had one and I was a bit like, will they work online? But it really did, didn't it? It's really good the way you have the cards and the camera and everything.
It's funny, I've been reading like that for years and years, and I used to get a lot of stick in the industry because the focus was on what I was doing rather than myself. And in this last year, because of COVID, a lot more people have been working online. And it's funny the amount of people that are now started reading in the same manner with the same camera angles and things. And these are the same people that 3 years ago were tearing me to shreds for it. So it is interesting. But being online, COVID has actually been quite good for me in that way, because people are far more open to online readings. You know, for me, I'm reading energy. I'm predicting the future. I'm telling you things I shouldn't know. I'm already doing the impossible. So where you are physically makes no odds to me whatsoever. Energy isn't bound by time or space. So where you are physically doesn't come into it. So for that, you know, I've always read internationally. Thank you, internet, for allowing that to be so easy to happen. But pre-COVID, no one used Zoom. No one in the UK used Zoom. Occasionally I'd get a Skype or a telephone reading, but most people wanted to see me in person. And most of my internet stuff was overseas. Since COVID, everyone's become educated on Zoom and more people
online readings.
So that's, I suppose that's really the impact COVID has had for me. My life hasn't really changed. I'm just doing 90-95% online and less in person and less events, obviously, because all the events got cancelled for last year and most of them for this year.
Do you find that the type of person seeking help now has changed with COVID? I mean, I guess, who did you see before and who do you see now? Maybe there hasn't been a change. Maybe it's the same person.
I'm quite unusual in the sense that I've quite a mixed and diverse clientele. Most readers will have predominantly women. And it's really funny to watch the split. You'll have older women will have younger clients, and younger clients will have older women. It's like the opposite.
Really? Really?
Okay. Yeah. Most the industry is dominated not only by clientele but also practitioners are by females, but personally I've always had a very I have a lot of men. I have a lot of industries that you wouldn't necessarily think would go for readings. I've always had a really diverse client base, but I think that's because a lot of readers are quite what I term as like woo-woo and a little bit out there. I'm very ordinary. I'm like a normal person, like normal. I'm not.
You're very down to earth, aren't you?
Yeah. And grounded. The science fascinates me. I don't think anything that I do can't be explained in science, but people just don't think of it in those terms, which is probably why a lot of my clients, male clients, at some point have had a conversation. Like one of my clients was actually quite combative. I was reading at a baby naming ceremony. And I just had the parents had hired me to come for the day. So I was just in a little table in the corner. And
oh, cool. That's a really cool idea.
And there was one gentleman that came up to me, and he was quite aggressive and quite combative, and basically told me that he thought what I was doing was a load of rubbish. So, and that he didn't believe in any of this expletive. And I just was talking to him and I just said, so you don't believe in science then? And he was like, well, of course I believe in science. And I then just talked to him about the science behind what I do, and he ended up sitting down, and then he ended up having a reading, and then he ended up saying, there might be something in this after all. And he's become a regular client. So I'm not scared of a skeptic. I'm probably the biggest skeptic you will meet. I'm not frightened of people telling me no, because I'm a fortune teller. So you can't tell me no until after the fact, because you don't know that it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, completely. And I mean, obviously, I'm not a psychic at all. I'm do homeopathy, but there are a lot of skeptics.
I would disagree with that.
Everyone
is psychic.
That's what I was going to ask. That's one of my, I've got quite a few questions I want to ask, and I'm conscious of time. So actually, that's a good lead into this next one, actually, about does everyone have an ability, do you think?
Yes.
What do you think, people suppress it, or does it fall away? I've heard, you know, once people get to sort of past the age of seven.
Okay, so the best way I can describe this is it's a muscle, and the more you use it, the stronger it gets. So if you can imagine, unless you are disabled, you are born with the ability, after you have learned to crawl and walk, you are born with the ability to run. That's the human physical form. Now, everyone has a certain amount of talent for running, and everyone can train and build on that certain amount of talent. And obviously, how much effort we put in, we're going to reap or not reap the rewards. So it doesn't matter how much I train, I will never be as fast as Usain Bolt. It's not going to happen, because I don't have that amount of talent. So his natural talent is up there, and he is trained to the maximum. So both of those two areas, he is at the max. I came in with a very small amount of talent for running, so I'm never going to get near him. I could train until the cows come home every hour of every waking day, and the best I can hope for is I might say run the London Marathon. Because I've trained to the maximum on the little bit of talent that I've got, or I might not put in that much effort and I might do the couch to 5K. Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone has a certain amount of natural talent that they came in with for any given thing. We're on this instance, it's psychicness. So everyone's got it. Some people have got higher levels, some people have got lower levels. And then it's how much effort do you put into growing that? So everyone is psychic. Everyone has walked into a room and known that the people in there have been arguing because they can cut the atmosphere with a knife. That's an actual phrase, because that's being psychic. That's sensing the atmosphere. That's sensing the energy of the room. Everyone's walked into our house when they've been house hunting, and they've got their little tick list of all the things it has to have. And they've gone to see this house and it's got none of the tick list. And they're like, this is my new home. Why? Yeah. Because they felt it. That's being psychic. Gut instincts. Everyone's had a gut instinct. Police officers have them all the time. That's the old fashioned policeman. They went off. They knew this person was guilty. But then they had to find the facts and the evidence to prove it. But that it started with the gut instinct. The husband did it. That's being psychic. Mother's intuition. That's being psychic. Mothers have argued until the cows come home to the doctors, who's with all their tests that have said there's nothing wrong, and the mothers have known something is wrong, and because they've dug their heels in, they've then ended up saving their child's life. That's being psychic. Everybody has it. Everybody. And I would argue that everybody has lain on the grass at some point and looked up at the cloud shapes.
Oh yeah.
And seen symbols in clouds. That's a way of psychically reading. If they then went on to interpret those symbols, they would be giving a psychic reading. That's that one tiny little step forward.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's everyone's psychic. It's, you know, I don't say I'm anything special. I don't say, oh, I'm all knowing and all. I'm just using something. Now, obviously, because I was freaking people out from the time I could talk, I came in with a certain level. But all children do. And the age of seven actually comes from, it's roughly the age they come out of reception in school. And that's not a cutoff on age. It's actually where the physical, it's what I call the world of things and people and science and the age of make-believe ending, because that's where it comes from. That's in our brain. It's the part of that controls our imagination and our subconscious and everything. It's actually the outside world having an impact. And around seven, that's when children start being, Is Father Christmas real? Do unicorns and dragons really exist? And that's where it's not that it closes down, but it there's a shift in focus.
Yeah, no, get that. So how do people, like, is there a way to develop, you know, how do you train yourself in this and develop these skills? Or, you know, what would you, do you have any recommendations?
You start using the muscle, basically. You start opening your eyes and looking out for signs. Ask for signs. I'm known occasionally, I will psychically literally be told, post this. And I will post. If you're waiting for a sign, this is it. So ask for signs in your life. Start reading things. Start looking at clouds and saying, oh, okay, I can see a dragon. What are dragons? Well, dragons are fiery. So maybe I should try and keep my temper today. That simple. Get a psychic reading. Find someone you like, someone you get on with, you like their style, and see if they teach. Buy Ziegler cards, which, and you can make them. You don't have to spend any money, so you can literally get chop up a set, some paper into squares and draw stars, triangles, circles and squares on them and wavy lines, and then hide them and then see if you can guess, okay, I think a star's on this card, and turn it over and see, is it a star or is it not?
I remember doing that actually with my mom. Now I forgot I did that. She had those years ago. It's quite fascinating. You're much more right than probability. Well, I found that anyway.
There's actually an app, so if you don't want to get the arts and crafts out, you can, or you don't want to spend any money, you can get, there's a free app for it. But it's just, it's a muscle, so start working it and start trusting as well. A lot of people know they've got great intuition, and they don't listen to it.
And I think
so it's not so much just doing it, it's also listening to it, because if you keep getting something that you're ignoring, well, that becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. And then you've got to, you know, it's like starting the 100 metres, 150 metres back. Because it's just got weaker and weaker and weak. So it's practice, and it's also then preaching. So it's like putting your money where your mouth is and listening to what you're being told.
Yeah, sure. And being observant as well, I think. Like when I, the other week, like literally a few weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to do a podcast, you know, and I'd started journaling, and I'd just written down that morning about reasons why I wanted to do a podcast. And I literally closed my journal. I went on Facebook within seconds, and my friend had posted a podcast workshop for the following day. And I was like, oh, there we go. There's a sign.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
I love it. Yeah. And if only we actually listened.
Sometimes, to be fair, you can't see the woods for the trees. And it's short of something slapping you in the face. you just can't see it. When I was actually sorting out my logo for my company, I was trying to decide, basically my logo is a star and a compass rose sort of overlay combined. And for that, the reason for that is I give divine direction and I give hope. So those two symbols were important. But I was trying, it was also, I was looking at a compass rose with an actual rose, because the compass for direction, obviously, and the rose to help people bloom. And I have a thing about roses. It's a thing that I have always have done since I was a child. My daughter actually has gotten named after a rose. And I was trying to decide. I couldn't decide between these two different logos. I was 1 minute I wanted one, 1 minute I wanted the other, because I liked the reasons behind all of it. But it didn't work as a three. That's the only way I can describe it. It didn't work. It was too complicated. And I was like, okay, well, come on. You're a psychic. Give me a sign. And I literally had, I was crossing the road and a lorry, it was like an inch from my nose, stopped in front of me as I was about to cross the road. So I was on the pavement and it just stopped in front of me. And so I'm like, you know, it's all right, don't mind me. I wasn't crossing the road. You know, you just completely blocked me and there's no reason for you to stop. So now I'm going to have to walk around you. You know, that was my train of thought. And it was about an hour later, it occurred to me that this lorry had a massive star on it. Huge star. So it was telling me, there's your sign. Yeah. Go for the compass and the star, not the compass and the rose. But even I didn't get that straight away. And it was literally right in front of my nose.
Yeah.
Like an inch in front of me. This huge, massive star. So sometimes you just can't see the woods for the trees.
Sometimes, yeah. Mine's just distracted or busy or, yeah, definitely.
But it does, you know, it really is open your eyes. Open your eyes and just look. And be open to signs. Because a lot of people ask for signs and then they get it and they're like, no, that's not a sign.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have a sort of, not to put you on the spot, but like energy reading for like what's going on in the bigger world right now? Like,
oh, be careful what you ask.
Okay, maybe I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so yes, I do. 2021 is what's known as a 5 year, and very simply, 2 + 2 + 1 = 5. Mm-hmm. So that corresponds to the colour blue. Blue is about communication, so how we communicate is going to be really important this year. It's about being flexible and adaptable, so we're going to need to be flexible and adaptable this year. It's known as a caring and supportive and calming color, so it's going to be really important that we are caring and supportive and calming to each other as a collective this year.
Yeah.
Blue is also, because it's all about communication and language, so the most important thing about communication is hearing what isn't said. That's a quote by Peter Drucker, I think.
I like that, hearing what isn't said.
So that's going to be a theme this year of listening for what isn't being said, reading between the lines, specifically for 2021. Now, I'm a Tibetan-born astrologer, and it's the year, we've just entered the year of the metal ox. I have actually got a full video up about the metal ox and what it means for different signs.
Touched on this. There's so much more to talk about. Maybe next time if you'll come back. But yeah, the video.
I'd love to. But for the year of the metal ox, it's going to be, you know, really important about pulling your weight. If you literally think of an ox, it's oxes pull their weight. So you're going to find that not pulling your weight this year will come back to bite you if you don't. The metal ox is all about slow and steady, so we're going to need patience. The ox is very hard working, so again, it goes back to this putting the weight. But the ox is also very stubborn. It can be narrow-minded and prejudiced. It's considered not to be so great a communication. Now, when you compare that to the blue, which is all about communication, you need to sort of make sure that when we, how you're talking and what you're communicating this year, that it's very clear so that there's people don't misinterpret things or get confused or there'll be misunderstandings. And because the metal ox is considered to be prejudiced, we're going to see, and you know, I posted this at the beginning, what's known as Losar, which is the Lunar New Year, which was in February. I posted all this in February and I said we're going to be seeing prejudices this year because the metal ox is considered to be prejudiced. So we're going to see that playing out, and that's been happening with what's going on in America, what's been going on in England with that poor lady, and the male-female thing going on.
Aggressiveness, isn't there, right now? And like from what you're saying about being a caring, supportive, calming year, I think that's much needed as a collective.
Because you know the ox is stubborn, so it's very easy for us to dig in our heels and go nope. But actually this year our kind of challenge is to be adaptable and be flexible rather than digging our heels in. There is that saying that if you want change, you've got to do something different, and that's very much the energy of this year. If you want things to change, then
I love that. That resonates, definitely.
I always say, you know, What's, you know, we locked down and everything. Don't be so quick to rush back to what was. Let's try and make things better going forward.
Completely. Yeah. It's the opportunity to do have something much better, I think. There's a lot that wasn't working before. So my personal view. So yeah, definitely. Can I ask you, actually, this is my last question I want to ask, which I ask everyone. I ask it to myself as well. And it's quite a big question. But really, if anything were possible, what would be your greatest wish for humanity right now?
That people open their eyes, that they woke up. It's like, okay, so again, in Tibetan Bon, it's a viewpoint that kind of like the Matrix, this is like a dream. And we can choose to wake up and improve ourselves, or we can just sort of go along in this dreamlike state and be. And that's probably the best way I can describe it. But for me, humanity has so much potential. Individuals have so much potential. And we get so distracted and caught up in stuff that really doesn't matter. It's you know, it's not important. And I really wish individually and collectively that people would just wake up. And Conservation International do a really great series of little videos called Nature Speaks, or Nature is Speaking. And there's various celebrities. You've got Julia Roberts. She does a great one on Mother Nature. Liam Neeson does a great one on ice. As I said, there's a whole series. And they are so... They're little mini videos, a couple of minutes long. They're so thought-provoking. And I think it was Gandhi. I might be quoting this wrong here. But he said there is a sufficiency in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. And if we think about it, there is enough for everyone. There is no need to have lack. This lack, everyone has it. You know, everyone wants the latest handbag or the latest iPhone, or it's always more. And the people that don't have it is, you know, there's people in the world that don't have food. And we're not talking about over the other side of the world. I'm talking about in the UK. The divide is vast, and it's not necessary, but we're also greedy and also selfish. And I actually think it's a part of a larger prediction, and it's not just my prediction, it comes from other places, but it's probably a conversation for another time, that part of what is happening now and for this decade is about getting us back on track, because I do think we've veered off path, as it were. So that would be my, I suppose that would be my wish. I'm not Miss Universe. It's not for world peace. It's for people to wake up and see that we have got so much potential, and we're nowhere near close to reaching it.
That's given me chills. I love that. You know, that's actually very similar to what my wish is too, that change starts with you, and that we should all kind of take a bit more responsibility and realize our power. I love that you've left it on a cliffhanger, like what's gonna happen. I'm gonna have to, if you'll come back, follow that up at some point, because
I'd love to.
It's been so lovely having you, Tasha. And for anyone that wants to know more, can you point them in the direction of where they can find where your social media presence is, how best to find out more about you?
I'm just getting started on YouTube, and I might not continue because I'm not a techie at all, but I'm starting to upload certain videos on YouTube.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
I'm actually just building a presence on a website called Social Phoenix, because there's certain things happening on the more traditional social media sites where basically you're getting censored or you're getting shut down, so your reach isn't there unless it's become very money based, and I don't like where it's heading. So I am building it's not there yet because it's in the process, but there's Social Phoenix. But I am on Facebook, I'm Divine Calling. I'm on Instagram, again Divine Calling Tasha Lee. My website is www.divinecalling.co.uk. But yeah, if you Google Tasha Lee Psychic, I should pop up.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much. A pleasure is mine. And yeah, there's so much more to chat about, but that's what's great about change being on the horizon. It does make life, well, it gives us lots more to think about, doesn't it? I think so.
Food for thought.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you so much, Tasha. I really appreciate having you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Have a lovely rest of the day. Thank you.
You too.
Bye. Bye-bye.